I'm George Kimbrell, and I'm senior attorney for the Center for Food Safety.
All right. So if you guys want to take it.
I was excited to interview you because I'm so thankful and impressed by your taking Monsanto on in the American Supreme Court. So I guess, can we start out with you talking a little bit about that?
Sure. Thank you very much. That's too kind, and thank you for your work as well. That case started in 2007. It's about genetically engineered Roundup Ready alfalfa, which is one of the crops that have been approved for commercial use in the United States. It's a Monsanto-engineered crop, which is why they're engineered to be resistant to Roundup, its product, and why they were involved in the case. When we initially brought suit, we argued that the government, in approving it, had violated the law in numerous ways. And a federal district court, this is in 2007, a federal district court in California agreed with us, and we prevailed, and it stopped the planting of Roundup Ready alfalfa. That was the first time a court had ever halted the planting of a genetically engineered crop in the United States. Monsanto obviously didn't like that very much, both as a matter of sales for alfalfa, but generally for what it represented as a legal precedent, as a legal matter. And so they appealed first to the Ninth Circuit. That's the Court of Appeals that covers the western United States, 13 states of the West, including California. And we won twice at the Ninth Circuit, 2008 and 2009. And then they appealed it all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. And the U.S. Supreme Court gets about 8,000 appeals a year. They don't have to hear cases. They hear a very select amount of cases, about 100. So the chances were really, really low. In fact, if you Google it, this is a funny aside, but basically, in 2009, when we won the second time at the Ninth Circuit, I was very confident that that was the end of the case. No one goes to the Supreme Court. That never happens to, anyone I knew, and not on an issue like this. And a Reuters woman reporter called me and said, "What do you think the chances are that the Supreme Court will take the case?" And I said, "Slim to none, and Slim just left town," which she put in the article. Okay, so then the Supreme Court actually did take the case in December of 2009.
What was your personal reaction to that?
We had opposed it, and I was fairly confident they wouldn't, but it's Monsanto. I mean, at this juncture, my experience teaches me that I can't put anything beyond their influence, really. And it was a case in which, they convinced the court that it was worthy of them granting certiorari or taking the case, even though most scholars would agree that it wasn't. But, it's the rule of four. It only takes four justices to grant review of a case. And as you may or may not know, there's four very conservative justices, five if you count Kennedy, on the U.S. Supreme Court, but at least four. It's the most business-friendly Supreme Court in the history of the Supreme Court, according to most legal scholars. That's almost 300 years of history. Anyway, they took the case, and that was all of 2010, from December until the decision in June, pretty much enveloped my life. It's not an experience I would wish on anyone, but at the end of the day, we got what most folks believe to be the best result within the realm of reality. It wasn't an outright victory, but it kept the crop still off the market, and most of the people, scholars, legal scholars I talked to about it, think that from this Supreme Court it was the best result possible. Regardless, it was again kind of the first of its kind that had gone this far. As I said this morning, it was, I'm sure it took a couple years off my life, but it was worth it. It was a big case. It was a big part of my life for about 8 years, and we've been litigating the second version of it since then, since about 2011.
And would you mind talking a little bit the second version?
So after we won Alfalfa 1, as we call it, and USDA had to go back and reevaluate the crop, we thought that would be change their decision the second time, because for the first time they had to do a rigorous review of it, of its impacts, and admit them under the National Environmental Policy Act, called an environmental impact statement, the first one they had ever done in 16 years of approving these crops.
16 years they had been planting
and never
GE
had done one of these. That's right. Until we sued on alfalfa, and subsequently we've sued on a number of other crops and gotten these types of analysis done on them. But anyway, the alfalfa one showed clearly that it would contaminate organic and conventional alfalfa farmers. It would become ubiquitous on roadside and ditches where alfalfa as a hardy perennial grows, it would cause massive amounts of increase in herbicide since normal alfalfa doesn't use almost any herbicide. So it would increase that by about 24 million pounds a year. And it would further the scourge of super weeds, weeds resistant to Roundup that we're seeing in all the other crops, because alfalfa is a rotational crop. They rotate it with other Roundup crops in many instances. And in light of this evidence, we figured they would deny approval of the crop. Well, it looked like they were at least going to limit its approval in the fall of 2010 and into December 2010. They had proposed limiting it to certain areas where it could be planted and certain where it couldn't, as it they said their co-preferred alternative. And then there was a bunch of meetings with Secretary Vilsack and biotech interests behind closed doors in December 2010. And in January 2011, they approved it without any restriction. So we sued them in March 2000, again, this is the second time, in March 2011, arguing that that approval again violated the law. And we've been litigating that case since. So that case in particular has been part of my life for, I don't know, the last 8, 9 years. And unfortunately, we have lost up to this point in that case, I should be clear. We lost to the district court, and we have lost in the first round at the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. So Roundup Ready alfalfa is right now on the market and being planted.
Slightly off topic, in terms of alfalfa, is there any, do you know what the status of alfalfa crops is now?
How much of it is engineered?
Mm-hmm.
I think a small percentage still. The industry is very tight-lipped about the numbers. It's not very transparent. But the last I heard, it was still, 10 to 15% is the range I've been hearing. They think eventually, after about 10 years, that it will take 50% of the market. That's what Monsanto estimates.
Hmm. Is that something they boast?
Yeah, that's what they boast, yeah.
Projections.
Yeah. And, I think it's critical to note that they... Regardless, because of the nature of alfalfa and the nature of bees and pollinators for alfalfa, once it's approved without limitations, it's going to be out there. It's going to be everywhere, especially in the West, where it grows on its own. So it's very unfortunate that, more recently, we have the courts have seen fit that USDA did not violate the law. I disagree, obviously, but that's the way it goes in litigation. To go circle back to the first case, it was a very important on a number of legal fronts. As I mentioned this morning, prior to it, a lot of these things that we think about GMOs now weren't recognized by the courts as mattering. In legal terms, we would say that whether they were cognizable or not, that means if they matter or not to a court.
Cognizable.
So like farmers, if they were contaminated, could they go to court to seek remedy? Or for our environmental laws, does contamination or superweeds or increased herbicide use matter? Is it something agencies have to analyze and regulate? Or for relief, can you get an injunction based on it? Can you get an agency action nullified based on it, which is called vocator? And the alfalfa case set new precedents in all those areas, saying that it did matter, it was important. The agencies and the industry did have to do these things. So I think it's been really good and really important case along those lines, regardless of, how it's gone in the second round. But, that's how it rolls when you're litigating against these guys.
Mm-hmm.
So,
And I think you had a great sort of closing statement this morning when you were talking about, the terms to the future and how you win. And I forget, do you remember what?
Oh.
Mother Jones.
Yeah.
From West Virginia.
Yeah, Mother Jones, great, such a great labor leader, union organizer, hero, heroine. That's her line. She says, social movements, you don't just win, or if you lose, you don't just stop trying. You struggle and you fail, you struggle and you fail, you struggle and you fail, you struggle and you succeed. That's the way it works. That's if you look at labeling, that is the way it's going to work. You can look at same-sex marriage in our country as the most recent example of that, I think.
Awesome. Thank you so much.